Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin at verse 1. And let's start here. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we simply ask, dear God, that you would honor your word and you would speak to our hearts through your word. And I pray, Lord, that we would be able to focus our minds on what you'd say to us this morning. Help us forget about all the cares of this life. And Lord, help us seek you with all our hearts and listen to what you'd have us hear this morning. Lord, we give you honor and glory for all things. We lift up to you, Lord, our kids as they get ready for school. Ask your God your hand would be upon them, that you would protect them. Lord, I ask that you would help them to give their very best for you at school. But Lord, help them make decisions that always glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this morning we're going to look at a Bible character here in verse 5 named Enoch. He's going to be who we're going to look at. We're going to look at Enoch this morning. And you know, Enoch, the Bible doesn't say a whole lot about him. We don't know much about Enoch's life. We don't know the kind of temptations he faced. We don't know the struggles that he went through day by day. We don't know what kind of financial man he was, if he was rich, if he was poor, if he had a lot of land, if he had a lot of cattle and animals. We don't know. We don't know a whole lot about his family tree. We don't know anything about his brothers or his sisters. Don't know his wife's name. Don't know how they met. So there's a lot about Enoch we just simply don't know. But what we do know about Enoch is, I think the most important thing is what it says here In verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Enoch lived a life that was pleasing in the eyes of God. And I think that's the greatest thing that can be said about anybody's life. Now, Enoch is one of only two people in the Bible that did not die, that did not leave this world through death, that God took him. And of course, who's the other one? Elijah. Also, Enoch is one of only two people that the Bible says that walked with God. There's only one other man in the Bible that says they walked with God. And who is that? Does anyone know? It's Noah. Noah walked with God. So you see, here's the question I have. Only two men did it in the Bible. How do you walk with God? Well, there's only one way you can walk with God. And I think the answer is by faith. By faith you can walk with God. And Enoch, of course, is a great man of faith. Now we're going to go back and look at Enoch's life. Let's go back to the book of Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. And we're going to look at verse 21. Now, as you remember, Genesis chapter 5 is kind of the death chapter in the Bible. Everybody in Genesis chapter 5, their name is mentioned 5 times. And after the 5th time that their name is mentioned, the Bible says, and they died. And he died. So, your name is mentioned 5 times, and then you're going to die. Now, there's only 2 exceptions. One of them is Enoch. Enoch's mentioned 6 times. And there's one other exception is Noah. Noah is going to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah is not going to die in this chapter. But everyone else in this chapter, from Adam to Noah, their names mentioned five times, and they die. Now, Genesis chapter 5, and look at verse 21. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You know, here we go in Enoch's life, and again, we don't know much about him, but we know at the age of 65, he became a dad. He had a son. His son's name was Methuselah. Methuselah, of course, is the oldest man to live in the Bible. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. Now, Enoch had this boy and he named him Methuselah. And we know Methuselah's name means when he is dead, it shall come. Which is an odd name for a boy. When he is dead, it shall come. But Methuselah died in the year of the flood. And so Enoch knew that a flood was coming. Obviously, God had spoken to him. So for 65 years of Enoch's life, we don't know really how close he was to God, but in that 65th year, something changed in Enoch's life. He started walking with God, because the Bible says, it tells us here, look again, notice verse 22. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. So after his son was born, or the same year his son was born, something changed in his life. That he decided he was going to walk with God and walk close with the Lord. Now, by the way, I'll remind you, Enoch lived in a wicked time. He lived in a very, very wicked time, very evil day. He lived in a time where there was tremendous outpouring of evil and all kind of perversion. But during this time of evil and wickedness, he still walked with God. Despite how everyone else was living in the world, and despite the condition of others and other people, he still was able to walk with God. Now again, how does somebody walk with God? The only way anyone can walk with God is by faith. You can only walk with God by faith. Now I want to go to Romans chapter 4 for a moment. Now let's look at verse 1. Romans chapter 4. And let's look together at verse 1. What shall I say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And my question to you is, what can you do physically to wash away your sins and make yourself clean before God? There's nothing you can do to clean your sins. You have to have faith in Christ. And by believing in Christ and calling on His name for salvation, by faith, God washes you and makes you clean. And by your faith, He gives you righteousness. He makes you righteous in His eyes. And that's what Enoch did. Enoch believed God. He trusted God. He believed everything that God said. And because he believed, it was counted for him for righteousness. And so he walked with God. The Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians tells us that. So the only way you can walk with the Lord is by faith. So here you have a man that is now walking with God. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says this. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And that is true. Now, Enoch here is showing us a man that is very close to the Lord. He has sought the Lord. He is very close to the Lord. I would challenge and encourage you, You ought to search this in the scripture. Search the phrase whole heart or all your heart. Psalm 119, you'll see that. You'll see in Psalm 119 over and over again where the Bible talks about seeking God with all your heart. Looking for the Lord with all your heart. Serving Him with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13 says that you'll find the Lord when you seek Him with all your heart. You know, that's what God wants. People that will love Him and search Him and seek Him with all of their heart. Not part of their heart. And not most of their heart. But everything that they have. And that's the kind of man that Enoch was. He sought God with all of his heart. And he followed the Lord as close as he could. Now I want you to notice, Enoch, God did not walk with Enoch. God did not follow Enoch around and go where Enoch was going. But Enoch walked with God. Enoch followed God. And wherever God was going, that's where Enoch was going. And he patterned his life and he shaped his life in a way that he was going to live in a way that was pleasing to God. He was going to do what God would have him do. He did exactly what Jesus said to do. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. This is what Enoch did. Let me read here for you. Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. You know, the broad road has no boundaries. It's a wide road. You can do whatever you want on the broad road. But the narrow road has boundaries. You have to walk a certain way. And that's the way God walks. And that's the way Enoch walked. He sought the Lord. And even in this very dark, wicked world, Enoch was a light that just shined. He was bright. He stuck out like a sore thumb. He was amazing in a dark world. You couldn't help but notice this man, Enoch. He wasn't like anyone else in the world. How close he was with God. How close he walked with the Lord. And he didn't walk with God for a few weeks or a few months or even a few years. He did it for 300 years. There's the man that decided and found that there's nothing as good as walking close with God. You know, there's a lot of people that come to church for a little while, and they're like a little rocket ship that North Korea sends up. You know, it goes up, and what's it do? It comes right back down. And they'll come to church for a while, and they'll be excited for a while, but then what happens? It kind of fades away. No, not Enoch. Not Enoch. Enoch got closer to God. He got closer to God. He got closer to God. And as those 300 years went by, he just kept walking closer and closer and closer to God. Every day, he walked closer to God. You know, the Bible describes our Christian life as a walk. Did you know that? That we're walking in this life. Let me share some verses with you real quick. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You know, that's something I'm catching there when I see walking and pleasing. Walking with God, pleasing God. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Colossians chapter 4. Look at verse 5. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. How do you walk in wisdom? Walking in the scriptures. The only way you can walk in wisdom is walking in the Word of God. That you study God's Word, you read God's Word, and you soak it in. So the Bible's telling us here how to walk. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, probably just a couple pages over. As ye know how we exhort and comforted and charge every one of you as father doth his children, that ye should walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. I love what 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 says. Let me flip over here, 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And that's the man. That's the man of Enoch. He was a man that walked with God. He walked as close to the Lord as he could. Enoch wasn't one of those guys that played around with sin either. He wasn't one of those guys that took chances. Enoch was a man that walked with God. And if he wasn't sure about something, I have no doubt Enoch didn't do it. You know, the problem is too often you and I, we play around with sin a little bit. And we take chances when we shouldn't take chances. And we guess at things that we ought not guess at. And let me show you. Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Listen to what the Bible says here. Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Hast thou faith? Habit thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Because he that eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what the Bible is saying here is, if you're not sure something's right, and you're not positive that it's okay, what's the Bible say it is to you? It's sin. If you're not convinced that what you're doing is all right, it's wrong for you to do it no matter what. If you're not 100% sure of faith that it's safe and it's good and it's pure, you are told to stay away from it. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:22 tells us that we're to abstain from all appearances of evil. But you know, this is the kind of heart that Enoch had. He was always looking ahead, walking with God. And if he wasn't sure about something, he abstained from it because he wanted to please the Lord. And by the way, this is what God has called every single one of us in this room to do. God has called us to walk with Him and turn away from this wicked world. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15. The Bible says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. See, God here is calling us out away from sin, away from the things that are wrong, things that aren't right. God's calling us away, and as Christians, that's what we have to do, is step away from the wickedness of the world. The things of this world that are wicked and evil, we are not to have any part of. We're to stay away from those things. You don't need a preacher to tell you what's sin and what's not sin. You already should know. The Holy Ghost ought to tell you. You know when something's just not right. You know when something is not pleasing to God. Stay away from it. Just stay absolutely away from it. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. See, you cannot love this world and love the Lord. You cannot love the things of this world and be part of God's family. You just can't do it because this world is opposed to the Lord. But not only did Enoch separate himself when he walked close to God, but Enoch was a preacher too. Did you know that? So Enoch was a preacher. If you would, look at Jude chapter verse 14. There's only one chapter in Jude. Look at Jude 14. Now Jude is the book right before Revelation. So if you go to Revelation and go to your left, you're going to find Jude. It's the last book before Revelation. But look at what it says there in verse 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of the saints. Listen to verse 15. to execute judgment upon all that convince all that are ungodly among all them of their ungodly deeds, for they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches with which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." You see, Enoch's message was an old message. It was a message that God was bringing judgment. His message was that Christ was going to return and that judgment was coming to this world. You know, and this is the forgotten message of the church today. You know, churches today, they just want to make sure you have enough coffee and that you have donuts and that you're comfortable and you feel good and everyone's happy. The modern church has departed from the old-time message. And the old-time message was that we've got to repent and turn from our sins because there's a judgment day coming, and that every single one of us in this room, and I mean every last one of us in this room, will stand before God and we will all give an account of our lives to Him. There's only two places for us, heaven or hell. Every single human being in this building and in the fellowship hall and anyone in the parking lot that doesn't want to hear my preaching, they're hiding. Everybody, we're all the same. We're all going to spend eternity in either heaven or hell. And there is no escaping that truth. And that message is not preached anymore. Because we don't want to make people feel uncomfortable. We want people to be happy in their sins and be satisfied so they'll keep giving their tithe money. But let me tell you, brother and sister, there is a judgment day coming, and that's what Enoch is warning us. That's the kind of man Enoch was. He preached the truth. He didn't care if you liked him. He told you the truth, that there's a judgment day and you need to make things right. And that's what I love about Enoch. He was a preacher of the truth. Friend, I hope you know that. There is a judgment day coming. And you have made preparation. And I hope you don't walk in the things of this world and you love this world. Because this world's going to go to hell. And all those that love this world are going to go to hell with it. You need to turn from those things and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to show you something else about Enoch. First of all, you know, his faith changed his life. But secondly, his faith also changed his location. If I go back to Genesis chapter 5, and I look at what it says about Enoch, you know, something interesting happened to Enoch. The Bible says here in verse 22, or verse 24, Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. What that means is one day Enoch was here. Then the next day they said, "Where's Enoch? I don't know where Enoch's at. Has anyone seen Enoch? Enoch's missing. What happened to Enoch?" God took him home. Enoch lived like he didn't belong here so much that God just took him where he did belong, in heaven. He just took Enoch and just took him on home. And he left this world and he never died. That's how close Enoch walked with God. Brother Bill, there's no way a man could walk that close to God. Enoch did it. Enoch did it. And if Enoch can do it, why can't we? The problem is you and I don't want to try too hard sometimes, do we? We don't want to walk that close to God, because when you walk that close to God, it's going to demand that you change things in your life. But Enoch walked that close to the Lord. If I go back to Hebrews chapter 5, and I love, look at what Hebrews 11. Look what Hebrews 11 says in verse 5. Look how it lays this out for us. It calls Enoch being carried away, it calls it being translated. I looked up that word translated. It means to transfer. It means to pass over, to cross over. It means like if you had an account balance in this column, you can move it over to this other column. That's what happened to Enoch. He was in this world. God moved him over to the next world. Look how many times it says translated in verse 5. Look how much the Bible's pointing this out to us. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You see how God, three times, let us know that he took him. God took him. God took him home. Over and over the Bible is setting it in our minds that he was taken out of this world without dying. He never saw death. But not only did his faith give him a new location, thirdly, it gave him a new longing. He longed for something that this world didn't have. You know, before Enoch left this world, God told him something. And it's in verse 5. And I want you to look and tell me what it is that God told him. Before he left this world and went to heaven, there was one thing Enoch knew without a doubt. And what was it in verse 5 that he knew? That he pleased God. There's one thing that he knew that God had told him. There's one thing that was given to him is this. That his life was pleasing to God. You know, he knew that. And he knew that God was happy with him. And what the Bible is telling us here is that Enoch knew that his life brought joy to God. That God was happy with him. God was pleased with him. Enoch had assurance. He was sure. And by the way, what pleases God? Verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So he pleased God by the faithful life that he lived. He was faithful, he had faith. His life was pleasing to God. You know, I believe the reason more Christians, and probably some of us in this room, the reason that we don't walk closer to God is because we've been deceived in thinking that sin is still a little bit better than walking close with God and turning away from sin. We still have kind of, in our back of our minds, we still think that if I give up everything, my life will be boring. Okay, let me show you something real quick. Let me go back to Psalm chapter 16 and verse 11. The reason we think that way sometimes is because we don't have enough faith. And that's what it comes down to. Psalm 16 verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Where is fullness of joy at?
In his presence.
It's in his presence. That's the only place you're going to find fullness of joy. Now the Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but there's not fullness of joy. You see, when you and I will turn away from our sins and we'll forsake everything in our life that we feel is wrong, guess what God's going to give us? Pleasures in his presence, there's fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. And I just hope one of these days we can all understand this, that there is nothing that this world can give us that equals walking with God. There is absolutely no sin. There's no television show. There's no radio program or song out there. There's no movie out there that'll bring us as much joy and pleasure as forsaking all the things this world has and just simply walking with the Lord. And the closer we seek Him with all our heart, getting up early in the morning and seeking Him, going to bed late at night, seeking Him and praying and reading the Scriptures and just devoting ourselves and knowing God more, until we just understand that's where joy is. And the closer you walk with God, the more joy you're going to have. And that's what Enoch did. Enoch's life pleased God. Do you know what I love though about Enoch? Oh, Enoch, he had assurance that his life pleased God. He knew that when he died, if he died, he knew where he was going, didn't he? Do you think you can know that you're going to heaven before you leave this world? You know, I had a conversation with my first cousin one time, and he told me that you can never know that you're truly going to heaven until you die. He said you could never truly be sure of that you're heaven bound until you die and you get there. But that's not what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says you can know now that you're going to heaven. In fact, the Bible tells me that God wants you to know if you're going to heaven that you are. He wants you to know if you're not going to heaven that you're not. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. He wants you to know. And let me just show you real quick. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and look at verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. You know what the Bible is telling us here? God wants us to have full assurance. Not a half assurance, but full assurance that you're going to heaven when you die. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, you're going to see the same thing. Notice what it says here. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with water. That's what is sought there. If you go look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, we're almost done this morning. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says this: "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." You see, my Bible tells me that God wants you to know that you're going to heaven. He wants you to know. Enoch knew his faith gave him assurance. And I ask you this morning, does your faith give you assurance? Are you sure you're going to heaven? Have you made things right with God? You know, the Bible says that His Spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And does God's Spirit bear witness with you? And if not, I want to challenge you. You can know. Make sure. Now, I know as we go through life, there will come times where all of us will go through seasons of doubt. And we'll wonder if we're saved. And we'll wonder if we're truly born again. You know, that happens. But I want you to know, God doesn't want you to live like that. God wants you to know that you're saved. You know, the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And that's what the Lord gives, is eternal life, everlasting life. Again, you know, the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I believe that. In John 6:37, Jesus said that, you know, whoever came to Him, He would in no wise cast out. And I hope this morning you have assurance. But as we close, I just want to show you a man in the Bible, an example that God has given to us that walked with God, and he walked close with God. And I want to tell you, church, there's no reason why we can't walk that close with God too. It all comes to a decision that we have to make. Will we decide to give up the things of this life and the sins of this world and walk as close to God as we can? Enoch did. And his life was pleasing to God. What an example. You know, when we look for someone to be an example, here's an example for all of us. Enoch. His life. He's been gone for thousands of years. And yet his life still affects us today because he walked with God. What an example. Are you walking with God? Let's all stand together.